Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Jonah, Lessons from a Renewed Rebel. In this session, we'll be looking at Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, a second chance. One of the lessons of Jonah's failure in forgiveness is that God will continue to use those who return to Him. We serve the God of second chance. Just like Jonah, many others have received another opportunity to do what God called them to do. Adam sinned in the garden, and God covered him. Moses murdered a man, and God called him. Elijah quit, and God recommissioned him. Peter denied Jesus, and God used him at Pentecost. John Mark deserted Paul, and later he wrote a gospel. It's the story of the church through the ages. We have all received multiple opportunities to return from failure and serve God. Let's look at our passage, Jonah chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And then he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. And then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, that so that we may not perish?" And then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Once God corrected his reluctant prophet, he recommissioned him. Jonah chapter 3 emphasizes the reality that true revival will impact both individuals and the culture. Let's take a look at genuine spiritual renewal. First, forgiveness and change is a sovereign work of God. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah obediently went to preach, but why? Why them? Why then? The people of Nineveh weren't praying for revival. Actually, Jonah was right. The Assyrians were better suited for God's judgment rather than his grace. Jonah's successful preaching had nothing to do with his ability or the Assyrians' worthiness. God had a purpose beyond human understanding. Nineveh was the undeserving recipient of God's agape love. In his sovereign will, God chose to produce more good in the world by saving the worst people in the world. It's reasonable to believe that their pillaging stopped, at least for a while. In the end, the revival at Nineveh is nothing less than a sovereign work of forgiveness that resulted in change. Second, correcting error is a scriptural work of God. Verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." God told Jonah to go and preach to it the message that I tell you. Spiritual renewal never occurs without divine truth. and Jonah declared the word of God. He didn't sugarcoat the truth in fear of offending the audience. He didn't try to gain their favor. He didn't pay any attention to their threats. This is the responsibility of every servant of God in today's world. We must speak the truth in love, sharing the message of God's coming judgment to lost humanity in an act of love. We must offer the truth to all. God's offer of grace extends to all people in all places. Our commission from Jesus to go into the entire world with the gospel message is our standing order. We must obey the truth wholeheartedly. Declaring the truth is not simply providing information. It is a call for radical obedience. The Assyrians responded to the message with genuine repentance. To say it better, they believed the word of God and behaved in a manner consistent with the truth. Verse 10 indicates that when God saw their actions, he forgave them and withheld his judgment. And then third, unexpected people receive the sudden work of God. Verse 6, then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. This revival was totally unexpected. Consider the probability of that brutal king suddenly repenting and turning to God. Why did they even listen to Jonah? Paul had a similar experience with God while traveling to Damascus to imprison Christians. That enemy of Jesus Christ suddenly and unexpectedly encountered God. And that confrontation resulted in the radical change of his life. This truth is a source of hope for all parents that plead with their children to return to God. And it is hope to pastors that plead each week with indifferent congregations to return to God. God moves suddenly on those who don't even expect it. And then fourth, undeserving people experience a saving work of God. Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. When God's people experience revival, lost people that completely ignore God come to him in repentance. In other words, God must do something to us before he does anything through us. The phrase, God relented. Notice that phrase. He spared the Assyrians from destruction. This is a powerful demonstration of God's grace, because the people of Nineveh did not deserve his mercy. If anyone lacked moral decency and deserved God's wrath, they certainly did. We need to remember that in reality, no one deserves God's mercy. And fifth, our culture needs the sanctifying work of God. Look at verses 7 to 9. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and of his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? Only God could produce such a radical change in an entire city. And when God regenerates the soul, holiness will follow. The person who professes a faith in Jesus Christ and still feels comfortable in his former lifestyle is probably never saved in the first place. Throwing stones at sinners won't make a difference in our world. However, the message of repentance can change hearts. if we in the church hope to impact our world for God, we must boldly, uncompromisingly declare the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. The book of Nehemiah records one of the greatest revivals of history. In the 8th chapter, Ezra the prophet read the word of God from morning until midday. That's about 6 hours, in verse 3. And unexpectedly, the people began to weep. What did Ezra and Nehemiah tell the people to do in response? Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 to 11. It reads, "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep.' For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.' So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, 'Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved.'" Don't miss the spiritual reality that revival did not come to the Israelites until renewal and commitment came to Nehemiah. Listen, it must start with us. Renewal and commitment in our lives. And then God will work through us, bringing revival to the world. You have a great day.